Today is Ralph Stanley Day in San Francisco, and the city will sound more like the hills of western Virginia than the coast of California.
Well, the road looks rough and rocky, that'll travel day by day, but if you look into my journey, I'll see the great Milky Way. I cannot sing like an angel, and I cannot preach like Paul, but Lord, when you get ready, I'll try to answer the call.
Ralph Stanley helped pioneer bluegrass music. For more than 50 years, Stanley's trademark high tenor voice and banjo style have thrilled bluegrass fans and influenced several generations of musicians. Herbie Smith grew up listening to Ralph Stanley play on the radio and in person, and has directed a new documentary about him. He says Stanley didn't have to leave the house to find his distinctive sound.
His mother was a banjo player, and his father evidently sang these old ballads, and a lot of that old sound came from the sound of his family.
And it was a family act to begin with. They were the Stanley brothers.
Yeah, Carter was an older brother of Ralph. Basically, a lot of people saw Ralph as almost in Carter's shadow. For almost 35 years now, Ralph has been on his own and has really proven that he's can carry his weight, more than carry his weight.
Ralph's voice is so distinctive, so raw, so bluegrass. Dwight Yoakam has some interesting things to say about it in your film.
Ralph, to me, sounds as if an archangel is back on this earth singing and articulating, you know, emotion through song. His voice, even at a young age, sounded seasoned, and now sounds, in the most flattering way that I can say it, ancient.
The darkest, deepest lore within me, I'm bound so tight in Satan's chain.
Ralph has kept this consistent sound that I think really is connected to the place that he comes from and the deep traditions of that place. And that's one of the things in the film. We tried to have a lot of scenes of the mountains and really kind of clue the audience in on why this sound is so unique.
Ralph and Carter and their sidemen would travel in a car and hit all of these little places all over the mountains, finally getting something going, and then along came rock and roll.
Oh man, yeah. And it must have just felt really difficult for them because, I mean, they had recorded for Columbia Records, Mercury. They were, in effect, mainstream musicians. And then all of a sudden, the mainstream changes, and they're in the head of the hollers trying to figure out what to do next.
There was, of course, a bluegrass revival, but I suppose that came along after Carter had died.
Exactly. Carter died in 66. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand about these bluegrass bands is they're very much like a string quartet or something, where each musician is playing off the other one. You lose that, then you lose a lot of the band.
Thank God if they'll die no more, they'll suffer not again.
But Ralph hung in there.
He did. And he put together these incredible bands. I would say that when he had Keith Whitley and Ricky Skaggs, it was chilling. And he's kept that. And part of it, of course, is that you can always recognize a band that Ralph Stanley's in. Even though he's singing harmony, he's almost singing a lead with the harmony.
When our journey here is ended, and this life on earth is done, we'll be sweethearts up in heaven. For me, I know you're the one.
Patti Loveless is interesting on Ralph's sound.
Yeah, when they sing Pretty Polly, it's chilling, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, here you have this very ancient song that Ralph is singing with this country music star. And it's not obvious that she's going to be able to sing in that old-time style.
Oh, Polly, pretty Polly, would you take me unkind? Polly, pretty Polly, would you take me unkind? You just sit beside me and tell me your mind.
Well, my mind is to marry and never to part.
But, you know, Patti's roots come out too there. She got it from the Gettin' Place as well as Ralph did. And so when she sings with him, you know that you're hearing the real thing.
Yes, she talks about how intimidating that is. And when you film her singing with him, you can see that.
Oh, man.
That, whoa, where am I? What am I doing here? And she just, you know, is so happy to be there doing it.
And tears were welling up in her eyes. I mean, as we were shooting, I didn't know. It's like, whoa, is this woman going to make it through this performance?
A lot of bluegrass musicians have made concessions to other forms of music to try to broaden the appeal, bring more people into the tent, whatever. Ralph hadn't done a lot of that. The Ralph Stanley sound is pretty much the genuine article.
Well, you know, I think Ralph had this long-term strategy. And I think particularly in the early 70s, when there were experimentations with newgrass, as they used to call it, there were a lot of hot licks and different ideas of how you're going to soup up the sound. But I think Ralph just made this decision that he wasn't going to be a part of that and staked out the traditional side of bluegrass as his, and he's kept it there.
To be a band leader is to be an entrepreneur. I noticed Ralph is personally handling the concessions. He's wheeling and dealing the bread himself, you know, as he's signing autographs.
He's an amazing salesman. And I saw him at one performance, 3 hours solid behind the table, and a long line of fans there just coming up, asking for a signature, and buying things from him. And, you know, you find out pretty quick if you're veering from what the people want, because all of a sudden they aren't lining up to buy anymore.
He seems to have an eye for the future. He has his son playing guitar, singing lead.
Ralph Stanley II. It's great. They nickname him Two. So it's like, hey, Two, come over here for a minute. But Ralph had him out there from, I guess, what, 3 or 4 years old, performing, and he's grown up learning this music. Some of us fans were wondering if Ralph II would turn into the singer that he has. But, you know, at the end of the film, we have Ralph and Ralph II singing, and I think you hear it. It's there.
You're right. I noticed that because you spent years putting this film together.
Well, if I'd known when I started it was going to take me 5 years to make this film, I'm not sure that I would have undertaken it. But these things, as they evolved, I wouldn't have been able to capture.
Oh, come on down the mountain, can't you do? Come on down the mountain, can't you do? Ain't yours called Katie Daly? We won't drink your gold mountain.
Ralph Stanley's on a roll right now. He's got, of course, your movie. He's in the Coen Brothers' latest movie, at least his voice is. Oh, brother, where art thou? He's celebrating over 50 years in the business and being feted in various places and still touring. So yeah. He's got to be feeling real good about himself.
Well, I hope he does. I mean, it's amazing. I want this, Bob. When I'm 75 years old, I want to be at the top of my game as well.
Herbie Smith, director of The Ralph Stanley Story, playing tomorrow at the San Francisco Bluegrass and Old Time Festival.
So to the dam, the four Caney Daly. Very soon the gates are open.